It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in, I believe. Touchdown. Touchdown, Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sure effort got it.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders. Oh, he caught it.
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac. Go crazy. Touchdown. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. Keep them off the field tonight.
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35-30, 25-20. Peterson, the one man to beat at the 5. He is in! That smile, Cam.
Waits for the snap into place. There it is. The kick is up. The kick is good. Auburn wins. 22-19.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, the host of Tiger Talk Overtime, Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome into the show, everybody, as we continue the conversation here on Tiger Talk Overtime, Thursday night, and lots of news this week about the Auburn Tigers football team. We're going to talk about that a little bit. The basketball team is also in action, but just a couple of games during the holiday, so we'll concentrate a little bit on football this evening. And Brian Brensfield, former Auburn Tiger, All-American, not All-American, but national champion. You weren't All-American, were you?
No. All decade. All decade team.
All decade team for a long snapper.
There you go. For special teams. All decade, in the 90s.
But anyway, Brian is here to talk to us about football a little bit. And Brian, I want to talk about this press conference that Coach Golish had in the last couple of days. And I've heard a lot of comments about it. A lot of people impressed with his performance. And I don't want to, I'm not trying to sound negative, but my response to them was, I've heard a lot of that before.
Sure.
And, you know, we got to see it on the field.
Sure.
But the two words that popped out to me about Coach Golish and listening to him were, it sounded like he's going to have an organization.
Yeah.
He's going to be very thorough.
Yeah.
And he's a young guy. He's hungry. You know, he wants to win. I think that's the two things I got.
Yeah. It reminded me of, I hate to say it because I say that, I preface it, and you know
Don't
what I'm going to say. You know what I'm going to say.
Don't say
it,
that.
It reminded me of an old Michigan State coach that went to LSU.
Yeah.
And it was hungry. And the way he put together a program. Now, will he do it? I don't know. But a process, right? A process-driven program, and he's got these pieces in place. It seems awfully complicated. We talked about this off air just a minute ago, but it seems awfully complicated. A lot of pieces to the puzzle, but it does seem thorough. And that was one thing that coach from Michigan State was. He was incredibly thorough, attention to detail.
Yeah,
I think that was one reason they won so many times.
And we'll talk about the staff that he's bringing in, a lot of them from South Florida.
Yeah.
Also, as you mentioned, the general manager, the director of player personnel, the director of advanced scouting for right-footed long snappers,
the director of Tuesday afternoon workouts.
But anyway, before we get to that, I thought everybody posted it on the internet, and it was very impressive. And Coach Golish interviewing all the players that were in Auburn, as you mentioned a second ago, Getting their take on what they liked about Auburn, what they didn't like about Auburn. You know, why are they winning? Why are they not winning? I think he went into a lot of detail there with a lot of guys. But very impressive comments that he had. And it was, I'm trying to think of the word now, heartwarming to hear him say that all of the guys that he talked to, and we'll get to his comments in a second, but that every player that he talked to a man, coaches, I think included maybe, but they talked about how much they loved Auburn.
Yeah.
And what a special place it is. And I know that is to you having played there as well.
It's 100% true. And he said 100% of the men, right?
Right.
You said everyone, and that's true. It is a special place. And he talked about he's known Cody Burns. He called him KB, for those of you who just watched the press conference, but I don't know if he named him by name. I think he did. He said he grew up in the same town as his wife and, and you'll hear it in just a minute, but he talked to Cody and Cody kept saying it's a special place. Well, I know it's special, but no, it's special. And to a man, everybody said, but we love it here. We love Auburn. And you do love Auburn. It's different. And it really is. And there's not a way to describe it to people unless they've been on campus. My ex-wife is a huge Alabama fan. She was there for the Iron Bowl. But every time she went on campus with me, she said, this is so different than Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
It's so different than anywhere I've ever been.
And you got the Tiger Walk. And the Eagle flight, which is, I think, the greatest tradition
second
in college football. Yeah.
Second to none.
Although the Eagle took a little different flight last time I was there. But anyway, let's listen to Coach Golish a little bit and his comments at his press conference, talking about his interviews with the players. And then we'll come back and chat a little bit more in just a sec.
100% of the guys that I met with, literally every single guy, and the conversations go where they go. There's no script to it at all. But at some point in every conversation, I ask the guys, like, hey, do you like it here? Like, or do you love it? Like, what do you think of this place? Because 100% of them have seen more of Auburn and have experienced Auburn more than I have at this point. And I think the thing that's really, really cool is every single guy that I've met with says, I love Auburn. Not like, not, yeah, it's cool, but I love Auburn. I've never been at a place where 100% of the guys say that. And some guys have had incredible experiences from a football side. Some guys haven't. Some guys have had incredible experiences with certain coaches they've been around, and some guys haven't. That part is inconsistent as you go through it. But the part that's been as consistent as anything, like, I'm energized. Every time those guys say that, I'm like, for real? Like, it's that cool, man? Like, it's real? They all love it. And they all talk about the same things, how the people here have taken them in. Every single one of them talks about what game day is like here. Every single one of them talks about how the student body treats them as they walk around. And my response to all of them is exactly the same, man. Like, can you imagine what the hell it's going to be when we actually win? Like if it's that good now, like, holy smokes, like, what about when we win, like, now? And they all kind of look at you like, you can do that for us? Like, I can't, because I'm not very fast, but you can. There you go. There you have it. But in reality, that's the part that's like energizing, as you sit there and it kind of sits you up in your chair every single time, because you're like, well, if you love Auburn, then tell me what the hell the problem is. And then tell me what your experience has been here. And each guy has had their own story and their own experience here. But ultimately, what we talk about is and all you can do is tell them who you are, what you're about, and you give them your vision for what this is, but you talk about your previous experience. Like, for me, you do feel like you're sitting there and you're quote unquote recruiting, but ultimately, and I think I've gotten to this point in my career by just being who I am. And we talk about what this program is going to be. I refer a lot back to the last couple of places I've been in leadership roles where, man, this is what we built, not from a win-loss standpoint. A lot of it is a development and culture standpoint. Like, this is what's really important to me. Is it important to you? And then on the flip of it, like, what's important to you? Like, what makes you go? What makes you the player that you are? Give me your recruiting journey. Why'd you come here? And to be honest with you, every single guy in some way, shape, or form, the conversation leads to the same thing, which is like, man, I understand you didn't choose me. Like, there's nobody sitting in that team room, nobody I've met with that has chosen me or had chosen me. They chose Auburn, they chose a previous staff. But the truth is, I chose them. And I'm here because I wanted to be here. And I'm here because I want to be a huge part of why we flip this thing to what people here expect it to be. And ultimately, some of those conversations are 15 minutes. Some have been an hour. Some have been at 6 in the morning. Some have sat there till 1 in the morning. Is what it is. But at the end of the day, I'm energized by the fact that every single one of them loves this place. And I'm telling you, I said it the other day in an interview, got one of my closest friends in this profession and really in life, Cody Burns. And I don't know if that one's official yet or not, but there's one for you. But KB, and I've known KB forever, KB and my wife are from the same hometown. Like, I've watched KB's career, and I've watched his career here, and then I had an opportunity to hire him. And I had an opportunity to hire him again. And then I had an opportunity to hire him again. And for as long as I've known KB, he continues to say, man, Auburn's special. Auburn's different. And I'll be honest with you, forever, like, man, like, that's your alma mater. It should be. You had a great run there, man. You've got a national championship ring. It should be special. And he's like, no. Like, you don't understand. Like, it's different. Like, man, I think my alma mater is different. It's awesome. He's like, no, it's different. You just got to be there to feel it. And I've always discounted as KB being KB, loves his alma mater. And I've been here for a week, and I haven't been outside of this little area here very often, except to go to the hotel. But as you meet people, you talk to the players, you meet people who this is important to, which is everybody that you touch. I'm like, man, like, KB, I'm starting to understand why it's different. And I haven't been part of a game day, but even the Tiger Walk for my press conference to the welcome that I felt, I can see what he means. And I get goosebumps thinking about, man, like, I get to coach at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Like, I get to do that. But when we get to that point, I think it'll set in that why this place really is different. And I think unless you've been here, you don't know. I can't wait to continue to learn about why. But I think KB was right in that way.
All right, so there you have it, the comments of Coach Alex Golish talking about the Auburn players and Cody Burns, who obviously, Brian, he's very, very close to Cody Burns, who is close to, obviously, you know, I don't want to use the word obviously too many times, but
yeah,
the players that won the national championship, like you did at Auburn in 2010, our last one.
Right. Yeah, he's a great ambassador for Auburn and a good guy. I think it couldn't have been a better hire for Coach Golish to bring Cody in, and with the new guys coming in, whether they're portal players, whether they're high school, or whether they're just guys that are there to reaffirm that this is a special place, and we can win. You know, you've been here and haven't seen that part, like Coach Golish said, you haven't been a part of that, but it does happen. You know, he went to, I can't remember if Cody was on the 13 team or not, but in a span of four seasons, we went to two national championships, yeah. And almost squeaked out two.
Let me ask you, should have won both of them.
Should have won both. Let me ask you a question: if you were interviewing Coach Golish, if you were in that room right there, how would you're Doug Holden? How would you start your how would you throw it up to Coach Golish? I'm Doug Holden from
War Eagle TV.
War Eagle TV, yeah.
What question would I ask him?
Well, just it struck me funny that all these guys, hey, I'm blah 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 from blah 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 blah.
Yeah, which I think they have to do that.
Yeah, and then this one guy said,
does he play golf?
This one guy said, well, you just talked about the quarterbacks, and we're going to pivot from that a minute. Like he doesn't know that we just talked about the quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
It just they just cracked me up.
Yeah. So. I thought the one thing that I thought I would ask him is about his hair. It made me think of your hair.
Great hair.
Yeah. No, not gray, but the...
No, great.
Great hair, yeah.
Great hair.
The swoop that you have in common with Coach Golish there.
That's right. Yeah.
But anyway, let's come back in a second, and we'll talk about more about his press conference and a little bit about the front office guys that he's bringing with him from South Florida. And he talked a lot about keeping DJ Durkin and also Joel Jordan, the new offensive coordinator from South Florida, who is also up for the Broyles Award.
So second best offense in the country.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that and much more. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Brian Brensfield is with us to talk some Auburn football tonight. And we're talking about the new staff, Alex Golish, all the guys he's bringing with him, and some of the players as well, and how that will shake out in the future. And Brian, wanted to get into here in the last segment a little bit about the portal window. It's a little bit different now in the coming year than it has been. We've had two portal windows, one in January and then one after spring practice going into the summer. But that last window of the portal is now gone. So Coach Golish talked about in his press conference how important it is for him, and he's bringing a lot of guys with him, scouts and general managers and director of player personnel, how important it is for them to get this roster right in January, because there's no going back for next season after that.
Yeah, you get one shot at it now instead of that second portal in after spring, wasn't it? So you get one shot at it, and that's big. So the evaluation of talent, we've talked about this before. Did we get it wrong with some of the guys last year? Not that they're bad guys or bad football players, but did we just get it wrong somehow, some way? And we'll see his take on evaluation of talent coming up, and hopefully we can fill some of those spots. Our big need is at offensive line. That's our big need. Running back is a need, we've got some players at other positions, but I think those are two of our huge needs.
No doubt about it. We were short on running back for sure this year, at least as far as depth is concerned. We'll see if Cobb, what kind of decision he makes. But let's listen in to Coach Golish again and see what he says about the portal window the other day. Very interesting comments that he had.
There's no pressure at all, right, in my chair. This is a pressureless job, so no, I feel no pressure at all. But all joking aside, the pressure is on making decisions really quickly. That's where, you know, I think for years it's been, man, I want to see, by years I mean the last three, man, I want to see this guy through spring, or I want to see this group through spring, and then see, man, do we need to add somebody there? You don't have that luxury anymore. You're trying to make those decisions. I think for a first-year coach, you hit it dead on. Like, that's an awesome question. Like, you're having to make these decisions off of game film, yes. Practice film, which wasn't your own practice film, in a different scheme than what you're running, at least offensively. Defensively, you feel like there's continuity there. But you're trying to make decisions off of a young man that you've never been able to work with, put your hands on. Like you've never been able to work with these guys. So the pressure is definitely on to make the right decisions. You're trying to gather as much information as imaginably possible to make real authentic decisions. And it's not so much, man, who do I ask to move on? It's more so, man, is this guy ready to help us? And so, yeah, the pressure to make decisions really quickly is real. It's certainly easier in year two and three and four. And I think in year two, three, and four, your development of the guys that are redshirting, your young guys, or maybe guys that aren't redshirting but just aren't playing a ton, that development has become so much more critical, because you're going to have to make a decision in the same breath that winter on them, rather than in the past where you've been able to make it in the spring. So evaluations got to be elite. You got to go with your gut in a lot of things. And I think the gathering of information more than ever is so critical right now. And that's why I say, like, you're using every minute of every day to try to gather every piece that you can to try to make elite level decisions. Cause once you get to the end of January, Your roster is your roster.
And that is exactly right. You have to get it right in January, go through spring practice, and then you're set for the summer as the fall campaign rolls around. We'll see what happens with the Auburn Tigers and Coach Alex Golish. Interesting to hear his comments tonight. Interesting to hear from former Tiger and national champion Brian Brensfield. Appreciate his time as well. A couple of other notes before we leave you tonight. Greg Carr joined an exclusive fraternity recently, becoming the ninth former Auburn Tiger to be inducted into the National Football Foundation College Hall of Fame. We add our congratulations to Greg Carr. Remember those days well in the 1980s and watching him play. Really an undersized linebacker who was a special player, really used his head, really played smart football, and congratulations to Greg Carr on joining the College Football Foundation Hall of Fame. Also, we mentioned the new cornerbacks coach, DeMarcus Van Dyke, is joining the coaching team of Alex Golish. We mentioned that during the show. He is a pupil, also, as we mentioned, of Crime Dog, the former cornerbacks coach. So that'll be interesting to watch as spring practice rolls around. Auburn also expected to hire Coleman Hutzler. That has become official now as the edge rushers coach. He was Mississippi State's defensive coordinator the last 2 years, previously working for teams like Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas, South Carolina, and Florida. Also, end of the year notes, Auburn linebacker Xavier Atkins, no surprise here, earned first-team All-SEC honors while the league's coaches voted defensive lineman Keldrick Falk and Kieron Crawford, and also running back Jeremiah Cobb to the third team, the Southeastern Conference announcing that in the last few days as well. So that is about all the time we have for tonight. Thank you for joining us on the show. Thanks again to Brian Brensfield for talking with us and kind of picking apart Coach Alex Golish's comments from his press conference. And again, in just listening to Coach Golish, you get that feeling of someone who is very thorough, who's thinking these things through, these decisions about coaches and players through very thoroughly. And he'll have some big decisions to make in January in the portal when we come back and talk about college football then and college basketball again. But it's going to be some interesting decisions they have to make, especially as we mentioned with Brian about the quarterback position, the running back position, the offensive line, a lot of the offensive positions with Coach Gordon, the new OC coming in from South Florida as well. We'll see if Byron Brown is a part of the equation for the Auburn Tigers next year. You'd have to think that he would be. Anyway, happy holidays to everybody out there. Merry Christmas. If we don't talk again, we will see you in the new year for college basketball and see how the Tigers of Stephen Pearl are doing. Don't forget, if you want to follow Auburn all through the week, all through the holidays, and you can't join us here on the show, join us on our website, WarEagleTV.com, WarEagleTV.com, and join our X page, subscribe and like there, and also our YouTube page, which is Holton Media Group. Subscribe to both of those, and we'll keep you up to date on all the action from the Tigers during the break. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks to our great sponsors for keeping us on the air. Until next time, Doug Holton saying War Eagle, everybody.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, brought to you by Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. chatting with Brian Bredsfield tonight on the show. Brian, great to have you with us again. Former Auburn Tiger and a national champion back in 1993. And we want to get into, Brian, a little bit about the two coordinators that Coach Golish is bringing with him. He's bringing one with him. He's got one in place on the Plains. And that was a little bit of a process with DJ, as we were talking during the break. It didn't happen immediately. And Coach Golish at the press conference said, we're trying to work things out. Not exactly sure what they're working out. But from things I've heard, DJ may have control of the defense in this coaching staff and maybe pretty good bit to say about who they hire on the defensive staff, which they've already hired a number of members there and kept Vontrell King for the defensive line. And Van Dyke, I think, is coming in to coach the cornerbacks, who was a pupil, I think, of Crime Dog,
right,
as I read. So kind of a familiar strategy there, philosophy anyway, I guess. But anyway, very important for Coach Golish, I think, to come in from a player retention standpoint to keep DJ Durkin in place. And with all the things happening in college football, you never know where DJ Durkin could wind up. But it was great to have him still at Auburn, making good money and making a big impact.
Yeah. And a finalist, or I think, for the Broyles Award, as maybe the OC that's coming in would be too. I think it was a huge get for Auburn to keep DJ Durkin. And from, like you said, a retention standpoint. But if you even go a little bit further in his comments, he talked about when he was asked about the players that he would need to get or the players he liked. He didn't single out a player, and he said, I'm not going to. But he talked about the defense. He talked about the identity of the defense, flying around, aggressive, their scheme, and their culture. And that all comes from their coordinator. And we saw that all year. We saw it all year. And we saw it last year. And we saw it the year before. We've had a great defense for 3 years now. And it was important, I think, real important for us to keep him. And it was interesting to me, I didn't know this, how long he's known Coach Durkin and Coach Brown.
Right.
How long he's gone back with both of these guys.
Yeah.
He knew Coach Durkin from college and Brown from Iowa State. So long, long time with these guys.
And they may have embellished a little bit in their statements on that, but they do know each other.
Yeah.
And I think like each other and like their styles. All right. Yeah. A little bit from Coach Golish at his press conference, talking about DJ Durkin and the importance of keeping him at Auburn.
Yeah. I think DJ, again, talked about the staffing. I've known DJ since I was in college. I've coached against DJ, admired watching. You can flip the film on and know what DJ Durkin's about. I think being around him now every day for over a week, it's reinforced for me what I thought all along going into it. It's also different when you've coached against them as a coordinator and you're sitting there and you've got a week to know every single thing about this guy and how he's going to call a game and tendencies and how he thinks. Like when I was an offensive coordinator, I would spend every living moment as you game plan trying to figure out a guy's tendencies, what makes a guy tick, what pisses him off, where can you find that edge to go score one more point than these guys. And so for me, being around DJ here for over a week now, again, we go so far back. We know so many of the same people. We've been in touch. And as I was going through this process, like, as whether I'm supposed to say this or not, but like DJ in my mind, as I was going to go through and put a staff together, DJ was the defensive coordinator I wanted to hire. And so for me, how fortunate I think I am to be able to get a veteran guy that's, in my opinion, the best in the country right now with experience in this conference, playing these same teams that we're going to play. And as you sit and talk to these guys that have played here for him defensively, like, the sentiment is all the same: organized, thorough, detailed, incredible motivator. And above all of that, just a really good human being that cares about the young guys in the program. Because I think sometimes that gets lost too. It's like these guys are still young men that need mentors, that need guided, that want to be cared about, that want to be told the truth. Like all of those things are critically important to me, are critically important to DJ. And we continue to have conversations throughout every single day of personnel, scheme, practice planning, calendars. Like DJ's so eager to get going because I think there's like this breath of fresh air for him as well. But to answer your question, that decision's really easy because I do truly believe that that's one of the best football minds in the country. I truly believe that's one of the best, not just defensive coordinators in the country, but one of the best football coaches. He's done it at a high level for a really, really long time for a reason because he is one of the best to do it. And for me to be able to partner with somebody like that is special. I think we're going to grow through this process here. And my hope is as we put this roster together, as we build this team, we build this foundation, as we put the defensive staff together too, that it's as in sync as it's ever been and all moving in the same direction. That would be the expectation and the standard for us as a staff moving forward. He's going to lead the defense. He's going to be a huge part of my decision-making in terms of how we move forward on the recruiting side. He's going to be a huge part of my decision-making as we move forward through the off-season plan and into the summer, into the season, as will Coach Gordon and as will, from a special team side, as will Coach Gio and our strength staff. Like, I'm excited to have him. I'm excited to be a part of this program with him leading the defensive charge.
I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor Pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated. All right, welcome back, everyone. Talking a little Auburn football this evening. Brian Brinsfield is with us, member of the 93 National Championship team. And, Brian, we heard about the coordinators from Coach Golish, DJ Durkin, and also a little bit about Joel Gordon, I think, which he will be the offensive coordinator. And I think we mentioned also a candidate for the Broyles Award as the top assistant in the country. So that says a lot. Wanted to get into the quarterback situation just a little bit. Of course, we have Deuce Knight, who is eligible to come back. Everybody, a lot of people at least, want him to come back. And then we have Ashton Daniels, who did a good job in the last couple of weeks for us during the season, obviously has some ability. And the guy that a lot of people are talking about, wondering about, and wondering if he will enter the portal and come to Auburn is the quarterback last year at South Florida, who is Byron Brown. And one of the only players in college football history, I think, one of 12, I think, to rush for 1,000 yards and throw for 3,000 yards in a season. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic in January when the portal opens, to see if that happens and how the coaches deal with it, how Deuce Knight and the quarterbacks deal with that possibility.
Yeah. A couple things. Number one, I said Coach Brown, it was Coach Gordon, and thanks for correcting me. But one thing with Coach Gordon is, you know, I think he's up for the Broyles Award because they had the number two offense in the country. Right. And that's thanks to Brown, the quarterback, in large part. And so we know he's a great athlete. We know he can he can work that position. But also, Coach Golar said, I don't want to come in and blow up the quarterback room. Well, is that what's going to happen? We don't know. And you left off one, Jackson. Is Jackson going to stay? So it's a huge question mark. Deuce has got 3 years left now. I don't know. He didn't burn his red shirt, so he's got 4 years left.
Yeah.
Ashton's good got game. A year left, and Jackson, I guess, has got a year or two. I can't remember.
Yeah. And from indications, I think Jackson's going to hit the portal. But
probably so.
Obviously, no portal is official yet till it opens, but it seems to be the way he's leaning.
Right. You know, the a plus for Brown is he knows the offense right away. So he can come in and he has an arm up, a leg up there. I loved what I saw from Ashton and from Deuce when Ashton came in at Arkansas and finished the season, and then Deuce at Mercer. They proved themselves. I've never been more impressed with a player at Auburn, I don't think, than Ashton Daniel in the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
What he did and how hard he worked and how much he left on the field, or didn't leave on the field, than his play in the Iron Bowl. So yeah.
A lot of ability at quarterback and a great person.
Yeah. I'm excited about the room. I hope he said he wants to have a 1, 2, and 3 and have great talent at a 1, 2, and 3. And I hope we have it.
Yeah. All right. A little bit from Coach Golish at his press conference, talking about the quarterback room and what he sees in the future.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes into the QB spot. And you're right. We walked into a situation where there's uber talented guys that we've got to continue to work through with them on, man, this is what we want to do offensively. This is how we feel like you fit. And then you want to make sure that you fit them too. I think the biggest thing at that spot is having guys that are high level, intelligent playmakers that have a skill set that you could build an offense around. We have an offensive vision of for what we want this to be, but I've said this before, we've evolved every single year based on what the quarterback skill set is and what your personnel around him is. We're still working through every single guy that's here in terms of whether they're a fit, whether we're a fit for them. Like that does take time. You think about quarterback recruiting, most of the time it takes a year, sometimes 2 years, to get to a landing spot where a young man and his family feel like they're a fit for what you do. I think I've met with everyone that's here and have really grown to appreciate what each one brings to the table. They all have film. They've all played. And for us, I've said this a week ago, my intent is not to blow the room up at all. Quite the opposite. My intent is to have everybody here that wants to be here. Because I think there's individually enough talent and enough potential and in a lot of ways enough production to say, man, like we can go win at some point with you, with you, with you, with you. The one thing I will say is it's a room full of really, really good dudes that want to get better, want to know what it's going to take. And then when we're done with as fast as we can, this get to know phase, like, do we need to bring anybody else in? And the intent for us is to have a 1 and a 2 and a 3 that are as talented as imaginably possible, but also bought into what we're doing, also able to lead, also can functionally do it to give us the opportunity to go win games.
That's what it's all about. More with Coach Golish and Brian Brentsfield when we come back on Tiger Talk Overtime. Stay right here.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, Join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Brian Brensfield is with us to talk some Auburn football tonight. And we're talking about the new staff, Alex Golish, all the guys he's bringing with him, and some of the players as well, and how that will shake out in the future. And Brian, wanted to get into here in the last segment a little bit about the portal window. It's a little bit different now in the coming year than it has been. We've had two portal windows, one in January and then one after spring practice going into the summer. But that last window of the portal is now gone. So Coach Golish talked about in his press conference how important it is for him, and he's bringing a lot of guys with him, scouts and general managers and director of player personnel, how important it is for them to get this roster right in January, because there's no going back for next season after that.
Yeah, you get one shot at it now instead of that second portal in after spring, wasn't it? So you get one shot at it, and that's big. So the evaluation of talent, we've talked about this before. Did we get it wrong with some of the guys last year? Not that they're bad guys or bad football players, but did we just get it wrong somehow, some way? And we'll see his take on evaluation of talent coming up, and hopefully we can fill some of those spots. Our big need is at offensive line. That's our big need. Running back is a need, we've got some players at other positions, but I think those are two of our huge needs.
No doubt about it. We were short on running back for sure this year, at least as far as depth is concerned. And we'll see if Cobb, what kind of decision he makes. But let's listen in to Coach Golish again and see what he says about the portal window the other day. Very interesting comments that he had.
There's no pressure at all, right, in my chair. This is a pressureless job, so no, I feel no pressure at all. But all joking aside, the pressure is on making decisions really quickly. That's where, you know, I think for years it's been, man, I want to see, by years I mean the last three, man, I want to see this guy through spring, or I want to see this group through spring and then see, man, do we need to add somebody there? You don't have that luxury anymore. You're trying to make those decisions. I think for a first-year coach, you hit it dead on. Like, that's an awesome question. Like, you're having to make these decisions off of game film, yes, practice film, which wasn't your own practice film, in a different scheme than what you're running, at least offensively. Defensively, you feel like there's continuity there. But you're trying to make decisions off of a young man that you've never been able to work with, put your hands on, like you've never been able to work with these guys. So the pressure is definitely on to make the right decisions. You're trying to gather as much information as imaginably possible to make real, authentic decisions. And it's not so much, man, who do I ask to move on? It's more so, man, is this guy ready to help us? And so the pressure to make decisions really quickly is real. It's certainly easier in year two and three and four. And I think in year two, three, and four, your development of the guys that are redshirting, your young guys, or maybe guys that aren't redshirting but just aren't playing a ton, that development has become so much more critical, because you're going to have to make a decision in the same breath that winter on them, rather than in the past where you've been able to make it in the spring. So evaluations got to be elite. You got to go with your gut in a lot of things. And I think the gathering of information more than ever is so critical right now. And that's why I say, like, you're using every minute of every day to try to gather every piece that you can to try to make elite level decisions. Because once you get to the end of January, your roster is your roster.
And that is exactly right. You have to get it right in January, go through spring practice, and then you're set for the summer as the fall campaign rolls around. We'll see what happens with the Auburn Tigers and Coach Alex Golish. Interesting to hear his comments tonight. Interesting to hear from former Tiger and national champion Brian Brensfield. Appreciate his time as well. A couple of other notes before we leave you tonight. Greg Carr joined an exclusive fraternity recently, becoming the ninth former Auburn Tiger to be inducted into the National Football Foundation College Hall of Fame. We add our congratulations to Greg Carr. Remember those days well in the 1980s and watching him play really an undersized linebacker who was a special player, really used his head, really played smart football, and congratulations to Greg Carr on joining the College Football Foundation Hall of Fame. Also, we mentioned the new cornerbacks coach, DeMarcus Van Dyke, is joining the coaching team of Alex Golish. We mentioned that during the show. He is a pupil, also, as we mentioned, of Crime Dog, the former cornerbacks coach, so that'll be interesting to watch as spring practice rolls around. Auburn also expected to hire Coleman Hutzler. That has become official now as the edge rushers coach. He was Mississippi State's defensive coordinator the last 2 years, previously working for teams like Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas, South Carolina, and Florida. Also, end of the year notes, Auburn linebacker Xavier Atkins, no surprise here, earned first team All-SEC honors while the league's coaches voted defensive lineman Keldrick Falk and Kieron Crawford, and also running back Jeremiah Cobb to the third team, the Southeastern Conference announcing that in the last few days as well. So that is about all the time we have for tonight. Thank you for joining us on the show. Thanks again to Brian Brensfield for talking with us and kind of picking apart Coach Alex Golish's comments from his press conference. And again, in just listening to Coach Golish, you get that feeling of someone who is very thorough, who's thinking these things through, these decisions about coaches and players through very thoroughly. And he'll have some big decisions to make in January in the portal when we come back and talk about college football then and college basketball again. But it's going to be some interesting decisions they have to make, especially as we mentioned with Brian about the quarterback position, the running back position, the offensive line, a lot of the offensive positions with Coach Gordon, the new OC coming in from South Florida as well. We'll see if Byron Brown is a part of the equation for the Auburn Tigers next year. You'd have to think that he would be. Anyway, happy holidays to everybody out there. Merry Christmas. If we don't talk again, we will see you in the new year for college basketball and see how the Tigers of Stephen Pearl are doing. Don't forget, if you want to follow Auburn all through the week, all through the holidays, and you can't join us here on the show, join us on our website, WarEagleTV.com, WarEagleTV.com, and join our X page, subscribe and like there, and also our YouTube page, which is Holton Media Group. Subscribe to both of those, and we'll keep you up to date on all the action from the Tigers during the break. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks to our great sponsors for keeping us on the air. Until next time, Doug Holton saying War Eagle, everybody.